good to be in the house tonight. Amen.
Amen.
And thank the Lord for Mother's Day and how much moms mean to us and the privilege that we have to be in revival. Sunday night, I think you're very well aware of this. Sunday night is a dying church service. And I'm honored to see this great looking crowd on a Sunday night in revival. And shows me you still care. You're still interested in the Lord meeting with us and moving among us. I look at the crowd and several folks I see, and I'm honored all of y'all came, and the home folks and the visitors on this Sunday night. As preacher said, I'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. We had pinto beans, cornbread, mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese, I'm not done, pulled pork, some kind of, if you had pulled pork, what else did they have in barbecue? Yeah, there was barbecue beans, but brisket, and just a little dab. Then we had banana pudding. Still not done. Red velvet cake. It's getting better all the time. And you say, well, Brother Derek, what'd you have? Everybody look up here. I had everything they had. You don't get this size without eating, son. I'm going to tell you that. And I like to eat, and God's been very good to me, and I'm honored to be in revival here at Cornerstone. If you have your Bible, it's early. I'm trying to think if my watch says it's 6:23. You can start timing me. Not yet. I haven't read my text yet. 1 Kings chapter 20. Now I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I don't know if you were here this morning. I told y'all, Brother Finus, if you'd have been here, I know that you was at your home church. And I didn't expect you to be here, but here's what I told them. I'm not going to preach very long. And some of y'all's laughing, but I want to tell you the truth. I felt like I did real good. Brother John, for an evangelist, I did real good. Good. Amen. He amen that. And those of you that were nervous about it, I believe it's the first time ever that I got done before 12 o'clock.
Amen.
I was impressed, man. I don't tell you. And but anyhow, 1 Kings chapter 20, I'm going to read verse 23 and verse 28. Then I'm going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. When you get to 1 Kings chapter 20, I want you to find verse 23. And I decided not to preach with that peppermint in my mouth. Things could get dangerous in a minute. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 23. We're going to also read verse 28. And then, as I said, we'll go to 1 Samuel 17. When you get there, are you found 1 Kings chapter 20? Would you shout a big amen?
Amen.
If you said amen, or even if you didn't, stand real quick. Reverence to the reading of the Word of God. The Bible says here in verse 23. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. Go down to verse 28. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel, and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now, if you don't mind, go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'll begin in verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. Everybody say, battle.
Battle.
How many would agree with the man of God? We're in a battle.
Yes.
I mean a real, genuine battle. And we're gathered together at Shochah, which belongeth to Judah, pitched between Shochah and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, then pitched by the valley, interesting, valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. If you don't mind, everybody in the sanctuary, look up here. For the next few moments, I'm going to preach what I learned in the valley. I'm going to hit the rewind button so the folks on the back can hear me. What I learned in the valley. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the words of God. Thank you for the good service that we had this morning. Thank you for the great singing that we've had tonight. How you've made us to sit in the heavenly places. How the Holy Ghost has already begun to move among your people. If there's anybody on a Sunday night that is lost, let this be the night that they'd walk an aisle, kneel at the foot of the cross. If there's any backslidden, let this be the night that they would rededicate. If there's any sick, God, we still believe at Cornerstone that you and you alone are the healer. We're blessed by your divine presence. We are blessed by the divine guest. Do what you want to do on this evening service. God, I pray that you would fill the altars with people that maybe are in the battle of their life. Maybe they're in the valley and they've been battling. I pray tonight you would speak to them from the word of God. And I'll be careful. We'll give you praise and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, you may be seated in the house of God. What I learned in the valley. Brother Carl, when God began to deal with me about that little word, valley, I said, God, how could I paint the picture or display to the people of God what a valley really is? These words, thoughts like this, become to talk to me and speak to me. And God said this. He said, Derek, symbolically. He said, figuratively. He said, valley speaks to us of humiliation. Valley speaks to us of grief, of oppression, of a struggle. It's known for its obscurity, its lowness. You say, Derek, I don't understand. We often say that the mountain peaks are high, but the valley is low. So maybe you've walked in tonight and you're in the valley and you're battling life and things really don't make much sense right now. Well, I've got a message for you. I've got three little valleys right out of the Word of God. Now, I need everybody to look up here. I want to go ahead and tell you that these are not my main points. These are just my introductory points. That went over real good. I got three Bible valleys that I'm going to address this congregation with. Number one, I want you to write down the valley of danger. The valley of danger. Brother Carl, it's interesting to me. If you have your Bible, keep it handy. I'm going to take you to two places in the book of Psalms. Go to Psalms 23 and look at that familiar verse. The valley of danger. You know that verse, verse 4. And before I read verse 4, Psalmist David brings light on the subject of the valley of danger. He says in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley, there's that word, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, before you say, well, what does that mean? Well, God was painting the picture in the book of Psalms that God is our shepherd and we are the sheep. And he says, yea, though I walk, he says, listen, sheep. He says, I'm going to guide you. He said, I'm going to lead you in the valley of danger. We all know that. And it blesses us. And it consoles us. But I said, God, what did you tell me? Why would you want me there? He said, Derek, in the valley of danger, he said, sheep. Now, this is where me and you come in. He says, sheep have a tendency to get off course. I've already lost my ameners, and it's early on a Sunday evening. We have a tendency to get off course, and we're liable, Brother Carl, to wind up in a briar patch or wind up off course. And I said, boy, I understand that. And God, but you lead me. You're my shepherd, and you lead me in the dangers of my life. I had never seen this, and I did not know this. Brother Larry, this blessed me. I said, God, I'd really like to understand. He said, Derek, the good shepherd. He said, this is what a shepherd does. He said, when a shepherd leads his sheep through the narrow places and the high hills and the low valleys and the crevices of life and the terrain of life, here's what blessed me. He said, Derek, the shepherd stands on the danger side and makes sure his sheep are on the safe side. Woo. I don't know how y'all can stay so calm, but you're doing real good. Brother Finis, it's a blessing to me that in the dangers of my life, in the valleys of my life, he stands on the danger side and keeps me on the safe side. Hallelujah. So there's the valley of danger. I'm not done. Let's go to the second valley. Right in the Word of God. Go to the book of Psalm. Go to Psalms 84 and verse 6. That man did so good. I'm sure he'll get it up there on the screen. I'll put pressure on him. Look at Psalms 84 and verse 6. Boy, he did good. Look at that verse. He said, who passing through, leave it on the screen, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. I want you to write this down. Not only did I see the valley of danger, secondly, I see the valley of despair. Write that down. The valley of despair. Psalmist David said, he said right there, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Brother Carl, the word Baca is an interesting word. It means this. The word Baca means sorrow. The word Baca means mourning. The word Baca means grief. Now, I don't need a lot of hankies waving yet, but have you ever been in the valley of Baca? Have you ever been in the valley of weeping, in the valley of tears, in the valley of disappointment, in the valley of grief? You say, man of God, I don't understand. I was reading it the other day, and God said, Derek, the valley of despair is real. You weep there. You cry there. You wonder, are you going to make it? And I came to this verse. And God said, it's obvious, Derek, you didn't get the verse. I said, well, God, I know Baca means mourning, and Baca means grief, and Baca means weeping. He said, yeah, you did good on that. He said, but you didn't read the first line of verse 6. I said, okay, what does it say? He said, who passing through. Hold up, I'm about to get blessed. I'm getting blessed by my own preaching, and I'm going to try to stay dignified and keep my hair in place. That's a joke. Hey, but I'm going to tell you this. I was reading it and tears began to plow furrows down my face. And this is what God said to me. He said, Derek, you're in the darkest days that you've ever been in. You've wept, you've cried, you've wondered, would you make it? But he said, Derek Daniels Tennant, you're here, but you're passing through. You will not live here forever. You're passing through. Is anybody glad on a Sunday night? It might be dark now. It might be lonely now. You might not understand it now, but you're passing through. You will come through this valley. Woo! You say, Brother Derek, don't. That's the truth. You will pass through. Brother Carl, there's the valley of danger. There's the valley of despair. I'm still not done. I got to hurry just a little. Now, if y'all believe that, you're gullible. Hey, but I'm doing the best I can. There's the valley of danger, the valley of despair. Here's my third and final valley before I get to my text, what I learned in the valley. Here's the third one, the valley of distress. Brother Bill, the valley of distress. You say, well, where did you get that? I reminded of the valley of Achor. I'll make you do your own homework on this Sunday evening and find the valley of Achor. We all know the story behind Achor. I'm going to address this because it's noteworthy. Achan and his family were stoned to death because of the disobedience and the wickedness that was in Achan's heart. Do you remember he took the Babylonish garment? He took the wedge of gold and the shekels of silver and he hid it in his tent. Now I need everybody to look up here. Do you remember what happened to Achan? Achan was stoned. Achan's wife was stoned. Achan's children were stoned. And here's the theme. And here's the picture that God was painting us. Sin affects your family. I deal with a generation of people, and I've even heard them say this to me, Brother John, sin doesn't affect my son. Sin doesn't affect my wife. And I've had women look at me and say, Derek, my sin doesn't affect my husband, and my sin doesn't affect my children. I don't agree with that. Ladies and gentlemen, sin affects your whole family. And before you say, well, I don't understand. Well, the valley of Achor, here's why I brought us here. I want us to see the depravity of sin and understand the consequence of sin. But if I'm really going to preach, I looked up the word Achor. The word Achor means restlessness. Interesting. The word Achor means disturbance. The word Achor means trouble. And Brother Finis, I said disturbance. I said restlessness and trouble. Have you ever had a problem in your life that kept you awake at night? Have you ever had a disturbance? Have you ever had turmoil and trouble and restlessness? And I was reading that and big tears came to my eyes. And I said, God, I'm not sleeping well. And God, I'm not resting well. He said, Derek, you're in the valley of despair. He said, or the valley of distress. You're in the valley of distress. But he said, preach this to my people, son. He said, tell them, I'm not only God on the mountain peaks of their life, but I'm God in the valley of their life. I am Jehovah. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Is anybody glad? He's God on the hills, but he's God way down there in your valley. I'm trying to stay calm. I'm having a hard time. I finally got to my destination of what I learned in the valley. I got three little points I'm going to give you. Now, before you think, well, that won't take you very long. I agree. If I only had 3 points, I would agree. But you know me, I got a sub or two. I want you to write this down. It says, this should be my shortest point. But it won't be. If I get caught up, Number one, the valley provided a battlefield. Amen. The valley provided a battlefield. You say, Derek, I never read that. You read to us, and you read to us in 1 Samuel 17, the Valley of Elah. I don't get your point. I need everybody to look up here. Would you agree with the man of God that the fight wasn't on the mountain? David didn't fight the giant on the mountain. He fought the giant in the valley. Now, I need everybody to look up here before you write that off. Oh, Brother Derek, what are you trying to tell me? Here's what God gave me. Victory is achieved in the valley. My God, I'm telling you, Roman candles are going off in my spirit and doodads on top of. I said to the Lord, I said, what do you mean? He said, Derek Daniel, he said, victory is achieved in the valley of your life. You will either win or you will lose in the valley. I come by to preach to somebody. We will not lose. We will win and declare the victory of Almighty God in our lives. We will win. It was in my valley, Brother Carl. I'm going to get transparent with you people. And before I do, I want to tell you something. I just won't talk. I just won't visit. Has the devil ever talked to you? I heard a little snicker in the crowd. Because he talks to all of us. And he tells us it's over. He tells us we'll never be used again. He tells us, Brother John, because of the valley, we'll never hold our head up and we'll never get out and we'll never see the light of day and we're going to die in the valley. And in my valley, the enemy of my soul whispered in my ear and said, you're through. It's over. And in that moment, now I told you I was going to get transparent. I listened to him for a little bit. Before you write me off, don't y'all sit up here and act like y'all spiritual giants. And y'all ain't never dealt with nothing in your life. I can look you in the eye and tell you, you struggle with some stuff. And so there I was. And if you know anything about Derek, I'm a words guy. I love words. You say, Derek, what do you mean? I've made a whole ministry off studying words. Brother Carl, so I'm in that valley and I'm in the battle of my life. And it was in that valley, preacher, the enemy spoke to me. But can I tell you, God spoke to me in the valley. John, you sang the song this morning. You had no idea what I was preaching tonight. But in my valley, here's what God said to me. Here's what God said to me. I love you. It's going to get better than that. I said, I love you. He said, Derek, I said, yes, Lord. I'll never forget it, Brother Carl. I'll never forget it. It reminded me. And I know some people don't like sports analogies and they fall out if you ever give any sports analogies. I cannot believe anybody would be so carnal. Overcome it. Just fight through it. It was like God did this to me. And he clapped his hands. And he got my attention. And he said this, I love you. And if you know anything, I put my head up. Tears was flying. I said, God, do you ain't got anything else you want to tell me? He said, I've anointed you. I said, I like it. I said, you got anything else? And he said this, I've chosen you. all of a sudden, faith is rising. He loves me. He's anointed me. He's chosen me. And this is what he said that got me over the top. I handpicked you to reach this generation. You say, well, that's a Derek Stinnett word. Oh, no, baby, look up here. Can I tell every one of you in this room, God loves you. God's anointed you. God's chosen you. God has handpicked you to reach this generation. And ladies and gentlemen, in the valley of your life, there's a battlefield. And we either win or we lose. If you agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
Now, I can't believe it. I'm already on point number two. Well, Brother Derek, you're going faster than I thought. I appreciate the kind words. Pull up on the screen, 1 Samuel 17, pull up verse 40. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 40. There's a battlefield, point one. There's a battlefield in my valley, number two. He took his staff in his hand. Keep that up on the screen a while. And he chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. Everybody say, brook. It's going to get real good. And put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. Keep that up there. So here's what he did. He picked him five smooth stones. And then I like that. Out of the brook. Okay. Do you realize that text is where I started my sermon, 1 Samuel 17. So I said to the Lord, I said, God, there's a battlefield in my valley. He said, you're right. But he said, Derek, tell my people, there's a brook. I don't know how y'all can stay so calm. There's a brook down there in the valley. Now, hold up. I can tell it ain't really preaching to you yet, and it really hadn't sunk into your spirit yet. Brother Finest, you get this. I said, well, God, I'm in the heat of the battle. I said, God, I'm weary. God, I'm worn out. God, it's overwhelming. God, I'm in the greatest battle that I've ever been in my life. He said, you're right, Derek. But he said this to me. He said, in your valley, there is a brook. Oh my God, it's about to just be. Hold up. I'm going to stay calm. I'm going to stay composed, and then we'll shout together in a moment. You say, what are you talking about? Well, if we don't shout, I'll get a designated shouter. I'll tag somebody in. I ain't scared. Hey, you say, hold up, what are you talking about? It's going to get better. I know some of y'all are saying it's no big deal that there's a brook down there in your valley. Well, before you say it's no big deal, let me tell you what a brook is. A brook is a watering hole. Brother Bill Rogers, Brother Roy, hold up. You say, what does it mean? I come by to preach to somebody in the battlefield of your life. God's got a watering hole down there to refresh you and renew you and rejuvenate you. Would anybody agree with me? God's got a brook down there in the valley of your life, in the valley of danger, in the valley of despair, in the valley of distress. There's a brook down there.
Amen.
Where the saints of God go and get a drink. I said, God, that's preaching material. I said, God, if I live to be 100, I'll never forget, John, that he's got a brook down there. Now, I told you I had some subs, so just keep that in mind. There's a battlefield and there's a brook. Now, I said, God, what else is down there in the valley? He said, Derek, look. He said, David picked up five smooth stones. Now, hold up. I'll tell you how I believe. And I preached this before. And I know other preachers have preached it. Do you realize Goliath had four brothers? Y'all didn't hear me. four more brothers. He got four brothers and he's one brother. Four more brothers, that makes five. And David picks up five smooth stones. Everybody look up here. Here's what David thought. I believe it's D. David thought it's going to be a family affair. That makes really good preaching. I don't believe that's the point at all. I asked the Lord, if you remember, Brother Carl, and I know you do, man of God, if you remember, preacher, David only needed one. Here's what I wrote down. I said, God, if David only needed one, why did he pick up five? Here's why. Five in your Bible is the number of grace. Grace, Brother John, is a five-letter word. But Derek, he needed one, and he picked up five. Here's what I want you to write down. In your valley, the reason he picked up one and he had leftovers is because it was grace left over. My God. Brother Carl, if I wasn't so dignified, I'd take a lap, I'd run on one leg half the time, and I'd raise both hands and be like a Comanche Indian and say, glory to God, hallelujah. Do you understand? There's grace left over in your valley. There's grace left over. And you say, Derek, do you got any Bible? Yeah, I got a little. Where sin did abound, my grace did much more abound. Can I tell you what I've learned in my valley, Brother Carl? There's grace left over. Hold up, hold up. Brother John, watch this. And I'm going to get real with this because I love all y'all. Some of y'all going to look at me. Some of you going to roll your eyes. I'm going to preach anyhow. I'm going to act like you love me too. We talk of grace in the church. We know very little about grace. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this. And again, I got love in my heart. Some of the meanest people on the planet go to church. I said, I got to say that one more time because I got enough guts to say it. Some of the meanest people on the planet go to church. That went over so good. Just go ahead and write that down so I don't have to say that again. And Brother Carl, I've been in that crowd where I was hard on people. Not very gracious at all. But in my valley, there's a battle. And in my valley, there's a brook. And in my valley, there's grace left over. There's grace left over for me. You say, Derek, I've dropped the ball. Derek, I've done the worst sin on the planet. I've embarrassed my wife. I've embarrassed my husband. I've embarrassed my church. I've embarrassed myself. You look up here, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, there's grace left over. There's a God that loves you. There's a God that's gracious. There's a God that can wipe the slate clean in your life. Grace. Marvelous grace, unmerited favor. Baby, I don't tell you, I'm telling you, God's been good to us. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. Now, I said I would hurry, and I'm doing my best. Sufficient, abundant, overflowing grace. Keep that up there one more. Just a few more seconds. So I asked the Lord, Brother Finest, I said, the nature of these stones. And I discovered, because Brother John, if the stones went in a shepherd's bag, they can't be very big. Just go ahead and write that down. I can tell y'all look confused. They go in a shepherd's bag. They're not very big. Hold up. So I did this. I said, someone asked me one time, I said, why are you evangelists? You're theatrical. You're emotional. Why do y'all do what you do? Because you didn't call me, baby. God called me and he tells me how to preach. And I done learned this. I was preaching the other night. I've been 4 or 5 weeks in a row preaching like a lawnmower chasing me. And my voice got real bad. I said, boy, God, you're going to have to teach me how to breathe and preach from my diaphragm instead of my throat. So if you catch me breathing, I'm trying to get it from the gut. I'm just not real good at it yet, but I'm going to get it. But you need to hear me. I said, God, where did them stones come from? And it was almost like Brother Carl. He did like this. He said, look up, Derek. And I looked up. He said, them stones came from the top of the mountain. Wow. Hold up. I got to throw this in for free. It's not in the notes. This is free. God uses small, insignificant people. Brother Carl, here's what I mean. Small, smooth stones went in the shepherd's back. I got to thinking about this. Do you realize I preach with the greatest preachers on the planet? You know how I know? They tell me. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. They tell me they're the greatest preachers on the planet. You know what God uses, Brother John? Insignificant. Little people. He that exalteth himself shall be brought down. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. When you realize that you're not all that in a bag of chips, and you realize you're not the greatest gift to preaching, but you need him. You can't preach without him. You can't sing without him. You can't teach that class without him. You can't witness without him. The quicker you learn that, the quicker you can be used in the things of God. Amen. I said, I've spent a lot of time, and y'all have been so gracious. God said, Derek, they came from the top of the mountain. I said, well, God, how did they get in the valley of Elah? God said, Derek, you do know I control it all. I said, yeah, Lord. He said, I can send storms. I can send, you know, I'm God, son. I'm God. I said, I know God. And he said, I hit a lightning bolt and it hit one of them huge boulders. Everybody look up here. And one of them boulders fell down off the mountain and one rock hit another rock. How many know what happens when a rock hits a rock? It breaks up. That's a good answer. But it gets broken pieces and it gets jagged edges. And he brings it halfway down off the mountain. And then he sends another gully washer. And he gets them jagged pieces of rock into the brook. Yes. Into the running water. Here's what I'm going to preach to us all. Brother Carl, you're older than me. It's not a stab or a joke. But I believe you'd agree with me, preacher. We still have jagged edges. And you know where he takes us, Brad? To the water. The water is symbolic of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. What does he do? What does he do in the water? What is he doing for me? He's taken off the jagged edges. And before you act like y'all don't have any, get over yourself. You got some jagged edges. You need God to take off the jagged edges. If you agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
Now, I told you, and you've done so good. I know there's a battlefield, and I know there's a brook, and I know there's grace left over, and I know God uses small, insignificant people. I said, God, what else do you want me to preach? I got one more point. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's the fastest I've ever preached. You might as well say that. It makes folks feel better. According to that clock back there, it's just 6:05. I feel better about it myself. You didn't know this. In Colorado, it's what. And in California, it's only 5 o'clock. It's early somewhere. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Here's my final point. And on this point, I've got 3 little thoughts and I'll be done. So I know there's a battlefield. I know there's a brook. Here's the closer. There is blessings provided in the valley. Now I want to say this, Brother Carl, because I love being real with people. I don't know why we do this. But most of the time, we, the people of God, when we deal with the valley, we think God is abandoning us. Nothing could be further from the truth. Brother Bill Rogers, in the valley of my life, it wasn't God abandoning me. It wasn't God weakening me. It was God strengthening me. It was God giving me an advantage. It was God pouring into me in the valley of my life. If you agree, shout amen.
Amen.
Let me give you 3 thoughts. I wrote this down. I said, okay, God. And I want you to pull back up 1 Samuel. We're at 17. Go to verse 3. Go to verse 3. 1 Samuel 17, 3. And here's what I want to do. I want to show you 3 little thoughts. And we can just keep it there the rest of the night. Here's what I'm writing. I wrote down. I got 3. Number 1, the blessings of parting. Now P-A-R-T-I-N-G. The blessings of parting. There's a mountain on one side and a mountain on the other. And the Bible said, and there's a valley between them. Brother Carl, Israel's on this side, on one mountain. The Philistines are on this side, on another mountain. And there's a valley between them. If that's Bible, shout amen.
Amen.
And I said, what does it mean, God? What do you mean, the blessings of parting? Here's what he gave me. And it's so simple, but so profound. He said, Derek, the blessing of parting is this. The valley shows us whose side you're on. The valley shows me which side I'm really on. I'm going to shock y'all. I don't know if you follow this. This political deal. Democrat, Republicans. And Lord God have mercy. That's all I'm going to say. I done offended somebody and I ain't said nothing. I done made somebody mad. But if you don't realize America's in a mess, you ain't been looking at who's running for president. If that's the best we can do, God help all of us. I got to leave that alone. I'm done. That's all the politics I'm talking about. Because I get halfway mad every time I think about it. I get half mad and half anointed, and I lean on the mad side. I said that one night, Brother Carl, one lady come, well, Brother Derek, there's no such thing as half mad, half anointed. I said, it's no doubt I couldn't help you, no way. You'd pick anything I got apart. That's just a figure of speech. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But here it is. So the violent, I said I wouldn't preach it. All I'll give you is it shows me whose side I'm on. Would you agree with me? It doesn't matter. Hey, the main thing in your whole life is that you are on God's side, that you're living for Him, that you're walking with Him. And if you're going to be in the valley, it shows you whose side you're really on. I wrote this down. I won't even look at the notes. I know this for a fact. In your valley, you pray more. You read your Bible more. And when you're in the valley, you don't just go to church one time a week. This is going real good. You go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If they got prayer on Tuesday night, you're there. Because you realize you need Him more than you need anything on the planet. So the valley, here's the second one, and I'm at a record pace. So the blessings of parting, secondly, the blessings of protection. Write that down. The blessings of protection. The reason Goliath had not overwhelmed Israel for 40 days and for 40 nights, Brother Carl, was because of the valley. In between them was a valley. And the valley protected them. The valley was a source that God used to protect them. I never knew it. God's used my valleys in my life to protect me. And to build character in me. And if you agree with that, would you shout a big amen?
Amen.
So I said I would, and I'm doing as good as I can do. The blessings of parting, the blessings of protection. Here's the final point, and we'll go to the altar. The last one is the valley of providence. I love providence. When you're a preacher, you look for words and you're always looking for another angle. The word providence means this: God working behind the scenes. Has God ever worked in your life behind the scenes? David marched out to that valley and everybody look up here. He had a rag and a rock. If that ain't country talk, I don't know what country talk is. Hey, Brother John, I said he had a rag and a rock. I like that so much, I'm going to say it again. He had a rag and a rock. One more time, somebody didn't hear me. A rag and a rock. And he got up out there and he looked at that giant, and that giant's making fun and said, "You brought a little Rudy, little snotty-nosed kid in front of me, and I'm going to kill him." And you know how he talked. He was braggadocious. And little old scrawny David looked up at him and said, "Look, I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to feed you to the wild beasts of the earth and the fowls of the air. And all the earth is going to know that there's a God in Israel." Amen. Amen. And David gets out there and gets that rag and rock and he lets it go and it's off a degree or two. And do you remember what God told David? God said to David, "Hey, David, the battle's not yours. The battle's mine, saith the Lord." And it was God. Ladies and gentlemen, it was God working in behind the scenes. I just got to give you one more point. It's not in the notes, but it's real good. One more point. I'm done. What did you get in the valley, Derek? There was a battlefield. There was a brook. There was grace left over. There was blessings in my valley. Brother Finus, when David picked up 5 smooth stones, can I give you that last point? There was ammo. There was ammo. To knock down the giant. God said, "I'll provide it all. I'm working in behind the scenes." And you know what I believe about God? Y'all gonna look at me, I'm gonna preach it now. You know what I believe about God? God could have sent an angel. He didn't have to get them from the top of the mountain. He could have sent an angel and dropped one of them rocks.
I don't really believe that God would send an angel to drop rocks. That's what's wrong with y'all. Y'all don't believe God can do anything. God can do anything. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because he's God. But he works in behind the scenes. For me and for you. Stand all over the room.